I'm J.G. Michael, and this is Parallax Views.
Parallax is you observe an object, you see a change, but that change is not really a change in the object, but just a change in how you relate to the object in your perspective of the object.
Welcome to the testing room of the Parallax Corporation's Division of Human Engineering.
Now please cross the chair. And you will sit down. Make yourself comfortable. And be sure to place each one of your hands on the box on either side of the chair. Making sure that each one of your fingers is on one of the white rectangles. Just sit back. Nothing is required of you except to observe the materials that are presented to you. Be sure to keep your fingers on the box at all times. Alright? Hope you find the test a pleasant experience.
On this edition of Parallax Views. Gone, can you hear us?
Now I can, yes. I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. I'm glad you're doing this with us. My video is a little bit messed up, so I'll keep my my thing to audio only. Is there anything you wanted to ask about the show or the format or anything, John, before we get started? I don't edit anything, so you don't have to worry about that.
A couple of questions. I guess the first one is the your video being messed up. Usually that's indicative of someone who is horribly disfigured or an alien. We'd be turned into stone. So I'm just curious if that's the reality. If that's the case, that's fine.
I'm not the best looker.
I think you might be right about the alien part. I haven't seen him either, but I get signs, yeah.
What you just heard was an exclusive teaser outtake of the Parallax Views conversation with the ever-controversial John McAfee, who, as you can tell from that clip, wonders if I am an alien. Not an illegal kind, unless we're talking about extraterrestrials. Men in Black, please don't come after me. In case you've been living under a rock, John McAfee is a computer security legend who founded McAfee Associates. If that name doesn't ring a bell, I've got two words for you. McAfee Antivirus. John is also one of the chief proponents of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. A yoga enthusiast who has written 4 books on the subject and even taught relational yoga. In regards to this aspect of his life, John has said, quote, "I practice yoga. Been sucking my own for years," unquote. A noted party animal with an alleged affinity for bath salts. An international fugitive on the run from the IRS, and a person of interest in a murder case south of the border in Central America. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention, he is currently working on a white paper regarding zombies and Bitcoin. Needless to say, this is a wild conversation with the infamous, the notorious, John McAfee. Quick note, this is not a comedy edition of the show, at least not intentionally. Although I can hear some giggles in the listenership as I speak. Having said that, we are joined by a special guest host for this conversation, friend of the show, Marlon Ettinger, freelance journalist who was previously on Parallax Views to discuss his experiences at the Jeffrey Epstein trial. With that in mind, let's get some introductory remarks from Marlon Ettinger about our conversation with John McAfee. Marlon, welcome to Parallax Views.
Hey, JG. As of this recording, we already recorded the interview. I had fun. I don't know if you had fun, JG. Did you?
I mean, it was an experience.
Yeah. I'll say this. I was drinking a little. I drank two mangoritas. So as the interview went on, I was progressively having more and more fun. But going into it, you know, I wanted to get him to talk about certain things because you hear a lot of interviews and he has his whole routine, right? So I wanted to get kind of familiar and comfortable with him and then see if I could get him to say anything. So that was sort of my thing for this whole episode. And I hope it worked. I hope there's some interesting stuff. We asked him some interesting stuff. What do you think, JG?
Yeah, I thought it was a rather interesting conversation. I feel like at times, you know, John has a certain number of things he wants to talk about. And then right. He goes over in all his interviews. I'm not saying that's bad or good. It just is what it is. I think John has a very forceful style at times. And, you know, I enjoy doing the interview because, I mean, whatever you think of John McAfee, he's always a fascinating figure. And talking to him, even through, Skype or Zoom, is just a pretty wild experience, to say the least.
Well, it reminded me. I visited Philadelphia recently, and I was at the bar with a friend, and there was this older guy who started buying us shots, and we got into a big political argument. And I sort of reminded me of that, this conversation, even though I wouldn't say we really argued, but it was just that sort of kind of manic edge-of-your-seats vibe with a stranger, because I never talked to him before. I know a little bit about him.
Yeah, I felt like it was maybe like tense at times, but I think by the end of it we all enjoyed the conversation, or at least I hope. John McAfee and his wife Janice, shout out to her for helping us set this up. I think he had a good time with it, but I don't think we were trying necessarily to softball him either. We weren't going the Tim Russert route.
Like I said, I was trying to be a little sneaky. I was trying to be kind of, hey, you know, good time, but then ask him some stuff he might not be thrilled about being asked. So, yeah, that's that.
Well, anything else you wanted to add about the experience of doing the interview with McAfee? Because, you know, I'm still like sort of just... I'm just like, wow, what happened? Like, it was just, it's hard to describe what it's like talking to John McAfee, who is apparently on the run. Apparently he got outed his location. He's on the run from the IRS, folks. He got outed from his location a few days ago. And, we were able to get him on right after he moved to another secret location with his wife. And, you know, it's a very weird conversation, to say the least. And we also got into, he's working for, I believe, the South China Zombie Research Center now. He's working on a white paper for them about zombies and Bitcoin. So, I mean, it's pretty, how would you describe it? Other than tense, but also friendly. How would you describe the conversation with John McAfee and the sort of the personality of McAfee that came out during the conversation?
Yeah, he kept, you know, I don't know how everyone is listening or watching this. We do have some video from it. A lot of people will be listening to it. Him on camera, he does have a very, you know, he was wiping his face a lot. He was this and that. So he's very wired. He's not without energy. So it was a very energetic sort of thing, which I enjoyed personally.
He's very, very intense at all times.
Right. Which, you know, I keep saying I have fun. And it's funny, you know, you mentioned, oh, like the weirdness of talking to John McAfee. Well, you knew you were going to be talking to John McAfee. I wasn't sure that day. I was thinking of maybe going to the beach with a friend, but that sort of fell through, so I decided at the last minute to do it. So it was doubly interesting to just suddenly be like, okay, now I'm going to talk to John McAfee for an hour.
Do you think the drinks helped a little bit on your end?
Oh, for sure. For sure. I don't think it would have been that different.
Also, in case anyone is wondering, yes, we do get into the shenanigans that happened at Belize. If anyone is wondering about that, just type in John McAfee and Belize. We do get into the murder of Gregory Fault.
There's an interesting theory who it was, but you'll listen to hear that.
Well, with all that being said, why don't we just get straight to the conversation with John McAfee? How's that sound, Marlon?
I'm sure they're tired of us talking, so yeah.
Welcome to Parallax Views, the pranksterish provocateur and presidential candidate, among many other things, John McAfee.
How are you doing? I'm glad to be on your show today, and thank you for asking me.
So, John, I wanted to have you on because, you know, you're one of the most fascinating figures I've come across online. You remind me a lot of you know, almost like the counterculture icon, Timothy Leary. You know, Timothy Leary, people often would say, you know, you get the Timothy Leary you deserve. He was a hero to some and a villain to others. And I think you're sort of like that. You have many faces. There's many different interpretations of you. But in your words, who is John McAfee?
Well, who is he? Hopefully, if we don't get into some format that the system wants to package us in, that you're going to find out during this 40 minutes.
Well, I guess I would ask, I'm always interested in people's personal biography. What was your first memory? I know you were born in the United Kingdom. When did you leave there? And do you remember what your first memory was?
Yeah, kind of. I was maybe 2.5 years old. And I was coming across to America. And my mother was British. My dad was an American soldier. He was already there. And I was in, that was at the very end of World War II. No one had any fucking money. There was nothing. It's world devastation. And so, my mother was sharing a cabin with another woman, and I was 2.5 years old, a boy. And so I was showering with the other woman. My first memory was looking up at her pussy, and this is the honest God truth. I can't remember anything earlier.
Oh, that's a very on-brand memory, I suppose.
Well, John, I wanted to ask about your presidential run, which you've said you're not looking to win it necessarily, but I'm just curious. You're very known for your anti-authoritarianism. How did you become sort of a figure that believes in anti-authoritarianism? How did your worldview get formed?
Yeah, I don't have a fucking clue how I got formed. And you say running for president. Yeah, I'm not running for president, and I'm not running against anybody. I'm just fucking running, all right? The direction of president seemed like a good direction, okay? Because it gives me access to the national stage, as it did in 2016 when I ran on the Libertarian Party nomination. If I win the party nomination this time, well then, shit, I've got a whole year to harass and torment whoever the Republican and Democratic candidates are. It doesn't matter who fucking wins. Please God, see this. I mean, the system is broken to fuck. It's kind of like a car, and the steering wheel's been frozen solid for 25 goddamn years. It doesn't matter who's sitting in the driver's seat. Fuck me. Put God himself in, unless he bought his godly mechanic with him. We're going in one fucking direction. So who cares? We're looking at the wrong thing. We're looking at people. Let's blame Trump. Let's blame Clinton. Let's blame everybody. Why? We're human beings. We're good fucking blamers. But no, no, it's a system. And we don't want to look at the system, because to tear that motherfucker down and put it back together properly is going to upset our lives tremendously in ways that we don't fucking know, and it might be scary. New.
Why do you say 25 years? You said it's been like this for 25 years. What happened 25 years ago?
Did I say 25 years?
I think so.
About what? About what? I don't remember about what, I'm sorry. Let me figure out what happened 25 years ago. I was 50. I mean, a shitload happened. I have no clue. Let's move on.
Okay.
Well, I know you're also, I guess, a fan of Vermin Supreme, and you have that sort of pranksterish quality to a lot of the work you do. How did that sort of develop, sort of treating politics with a sort of pranksterish edge? I really like that aspect of how you put yourself out there in the public eye.
Well, I mean, I've always been a prankster. I mean, what is a prankster? I mean, a prankster is somebody who sees that every act in our social structure and every act in the people's lives, it's fucking comical, okay? I mean, I'm sorry. It's just funny. I mean, for those who want to see it properly. I mean, you know, you go to fucking work, wake up 6 o'clock every goddamn morning, you commute there, it's an hour maybe more. You know, you spend 8 hours in the office in airless, windowless fucking place with artificial light. You come home and kiss your wife, and you do that over and over and over and over for 40 fucking years. Now, if you don't see the humor in that, then I'm sorry, you're just not looking at it right.
Well, it's also really weird because, I mean, we live in sort of a hyper-consumerist society. Everyone's keeping up with the Joneses. And I know you've released a video, too, talking about that, too, how, you know, it's not about keeping up with the Joneses. It's about freedom, essentially. What sort of does freedom mean to you?
Freedom means the ability to act in complete accordance with your heart. That's where your heart and your mind are in synergy. So that what you truly want and need to do in the world is unfettered by anything or anyone.
You think
it doesn't matter what fetters they want to fucking put on you. If you're free, you go, all right, so you got these things on me. Well, I'm pretty goddamn free even with these things on me. Just as free as without. So freedom is being yourself in every moment of your life.
And do you think wealth is a precondition of that? Do you think you need money to be free? 100%? You need wealth or money to be free.
No, you don't need food. No. Wealth and money.
Because you've had it, and I have.
The biggest prison. Let me finish this. Wealth, money, power. That is the biggest fucking prison, because that wealth, which you've now surrounded yourself with and immersed yourself in, gives you things like houses and yachts, and airplanes and mansions and swimming pools all over the fucking world. Now, who owns who? When the plumbing breaks at 10,000 feet at my Colorado mansion and, you know, $200,000 worth of work has to be done, mm-hmm. Am I telling the house what to do, or is the fucking house telling me what to do? Fucking telling me what to do. Every goddamn thing you own owns you. Most of all, the people you think you own, like your wife, you know, people who work for you who never go somewhere else because you pay them 10 times what anyone else is going to fucking pay them. No, fuck me. Money don't bring freedom.
Hmm. I guess, yeah. And I guess that brings us to where you are now. Because do you feel free right now? You know, you're on the run, you're this, you're that. And do you know how you got here? That's a big question.
I mean, I'm living in a luxury goddamn safe house. I'm sorry.
You're all right.
What can I say? My wife has just reached for her pistol and is about to point it at me. So I'm trying not to divulge too much, but we got a private chef. A woman came here to a hairdresser to do my hair today. A fucking world-class piano and the lounge where we eat. Motherfucking hell. I don't know what freedom is externally, but if fuck it, this is not free, then nobody is. And inside, I'm freer every day.
And how do you think, like, the facts of the case, how do you think you got here? So why, those people have said it's because you're dodging income tax or you're this or that. What do you think has actually happened?
Well, it's got nothing to do with income tax. Good God Almighty, I paid $50 million in income taxes in America in my life. It's enough. It's enough, all right? I still had to stand in line like everybody else to get worthless services when I needed those worthless services. So it doesn't matter. But that, it's not about taxes. No.
Right.
It's about cryptocurrency. And it's about the fact that I promote cryptocurrency, not only as a means of avoiding income taxes, because if no one can tell what you fucking made, if you're using a privacy coin, are you going to be motivated to divulge it? Fuck no. Nobody is. So not only can you use crypto to do that, you can use crypto to free yourself from the entire monetary system that enslaves you, the fiat currency, without which you can't live, can't buy a house, can't pay rent, can't put your kids through school, can't get the medical care, can't buy them clothes, can't get a car. Or pay for transportation. So without that, you're nothing. But without that and with cryptocurrency, you are your own god of your own finances. You are your own bank. Anybody who uses it knows this absolute truth. Your cryptocurrency wallet is your bank. You fucking own a bank. Now, who doesn't want that?
That's interesting. So you're
don't want that. The governments don't want that because it will destroy the entire structure of corruption and excessive spending that they've all gotten used to. So this is what it's about. It's about my words attempting to turn society upside down.
I think JG had a question about this. Is that right, JG, about cryptocurrency?
Well, yeah, I wanted to ask, it's more a question about government. Do you think there's any role for government? Do you consider yourself an anarchist, or do you believe in limited government? Where do you sort of stand on that? I was interested because I know you've said some good things about your experiences in Cuba, which I found interesting, being that you're often associated with libertarianism.
Well, I don't stand anywhere in there. Here's where I stand. I'm in a crowded movie theater, and the movie is so fucking enthralling that everybody is lost in it. And I turn around, I see a fire in the back of the theater. Well, I don't care about the theater plot in the movie. I don't give a shit about the plot. I don't care what plans these people have in their heads, because it ain't going to matter. It's going to be overridden the minute everybody wakes up and goes, fire. You don't need a fucking plan. No, you just march to the nearest exit. It is human nature, en masse, orderly. Let's get the fuck out. Well, that's where we are. Now, there's a fucking fire going on. I don't give a shit about the politics because I don't know anything about the things that people think are important. The Middle East, I don't speak Farsi. I don't speak Arabic. I know nothing about the depth of the religion and its history, the history of the culture, the political fucking alliances. Good God Almighty, and you're going to ask me what should be done in the Middle East? Well, if you're anything like me, you're unqualified to open your fucking mouth. And that's what America should be doing, is shutting its mouth and coming home where the real problems are. Because we just don't know. The CIA has created a fantasy world, a dark network of curtains that keep the true functioning of the government out of the visibility of the people, us. This is the fucking problem.
It's Janice right there. Are you talking to Janice?
I'm sorry?
So you worked for NASA, right? Is that, that's true?
I did, yes.
And when was that?
Fuck me, it's 1970, I think.
Way back.
When the Tyros, I worked on the Tyros weather satellite data reduction.
You see, I'm interested.
We had the first weather satellite, but it regurgitated so much fucking information that the computers at the time simply couldn't fucking handle it, right? So my job was working on how to reduce the data in a manner that our computers could, in fact, handle it. Now, back then, a computer on an entire city block, you know, weighing thousands of tons and eating up more electricity than a small town, had less power than your smartphone in your hand today. So it was a different world that I grew up in. I don't know how we got on that. Did you ask a question even remotely relevant to that?
I bring it up because, you know, you were talking about the CIA creating this fantasy world, and you worked out in Silicon Valley, you know, and what I was wondering, if you ever had any contacts with these type of people, these spooky people, in the course of your career? Because I figure,
you know, I worked at Lockheed in Silicon Valley on black programs. Now, if you don't know what a black program is,
special access programs.
Black programs. Pardon?
Special access programs. Those?
No. Black programs don't exist. In any paperwork, in any official documentation, in any official meeting, in any committee meeting. No, they don't exist, except for the people working on them and the companies letting those people go. And that's it. And all they know is you're going to work on a black program. We know what to do. If you no longer work here, you no longer there, everything's fine. So, and yet you get paid. So, yeah, I worked on black programs. No the fucking hell. I mean, I was a smart man. Why wouldn't I? I would have hired me to work on any fucking black program because I knew 10 times more than anybody else in my same technological field of expertise, which is software fucking engineering.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, I know a lot of people, I guess there's this image that some have of you of being paranoid, but I want to add to that. You know, it seems like people need to be paranoid more and more these days. I mean, just look at what happened to Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, I think paranoia is almost, you know, if you're not paranoid, you're wrong.
Right. Well, listen, if you aren't paranoid, you need immediately, I mean, fucking immediately, to move out of your mama's basement and see the world outside. Because it's a paranoid fucking world.
And you say that based on life. You say that based on life
experience. I'm sorry?
Not just you say that based on life experience. You're not just theorizing.
Listen, Ms. Janice.
Yes.
Are we theorizing?
No, we're not.
She doesn't want to get on. We are not
theorizing. I'm just.
This is from fucking experience. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay, that's cool.
If we could circle back around to Bitcoin, you know, you made the case that when you have Bitcoin, you have freedom. But a lot of people say, well, Bitcoin is just a commodity. Bitcoin is going to be regulated. What do you say to people who say stuff like that?
Bitcoin might be regulated. I mean, Bitcoin is the number one, not a privacy coin. You know, if I do business with you and I know your wallet address and fuck me, I can Etherscan whatever I fucking want. It's like if a plumber came to your house and fixed your sink and you wrote him a check for $40 and he went to the bank and said, hi, by the way, would you please fucking notify me, I mean, if anything comes into this account report goes out, and the bank goes, oh, fuck yes, I'll do that. You wouldn't be happy, all right? This is a problem with Bitcoin. So privacy coins will definitely win, and fuck me, they're more than commodities. They're the keys to your goddamn prison. They're the thing you've been looking for to get out of your slavery and into the real fucking world with your own real fucking power. How's that?
That's an answer.
I've been on for an hour and 45 minutes, haven't I? No? Okay, I'm sorry.
No. Okay. We're just very deep. It feels like an hour.
Well, John, maybe you could tell my listeners a little bit about why you're so behind Bitcoin, in the sense that what do you think it is that will make us more free with regards to Bitcoin? I'm kind of trying to understand it. I mean, Satoshi Nakamoto and all this stuff, sometimes it gets a little bit over my head. Maybe I'm just not as smart.
Okay, well, Bitcoin, I say Bitcoin because people in cryptocurrency know what the fuck you're talking about, and even people who are not know what the fuck you're talking about. When you say cryptocurrency, you lose half of your audience. So I just say Bitcoin because it is a metaphor for me for cryptocurrency. It is the grandfather. It will be our store of value, probably, like the gold standard. It will not be a very usable currency in the future because privacy will fucking bulldoze that to the side. It's just because people, no matter if you say, I got nothing to hide, I have no secrets, you're just lying to yourself. I mean, maybe you're fucking your neighbor's spouse and you're not telling your spouse, fuck, it's okay. But I promise you, you're not telling somebody something because you're a human being. So privacy will have to win. Does that make any sense?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I'm curious. What do you think the biggest cybersecurity threats are right now, especially in terms of government invasion of privacy?
We don't have any privacy. I mean, I'm a cybersecurity, maybe not expert, but certainly one of the longest lived in the profession of cybersecurity, and certainly one of the very successful ones. And I'm telling you, that the government has reached a point where you don't have any privacy at all. Right. They have all the tools. They have Google and Facebook and telephone companies by the throat. They have Harris Corporation stingrays that emulate real cell towers, but they're not. They trap your signal and they listen and watch. No, you don't have any. Stop fucking worrying about it.
Yeah.
You need to change the system to where you have some before you can then say you're invading it. It has been invaded. The territory is now lost. Accept that as part of the problem we have to fight.
So you would say it's a political solution. We can't just do things. You can't download a program or hide behind a VPN. You got to actually change the process.
I am hiding behind a VPN.
Right.
However, in order for me to have privacy, my life has to be a fucking safe house. All right? Doesn't matter how luxurious and fun. It has to be a safe house to keep myself, my wife, Janice, healthy, alive, and continuing to function as servants and mouthpieces of what I think truth is. So, you know, you don't want to live like this, people. You do not. Why? You couldn't. You got kids. Damn near impossible. I mean, the kids are not going to accept it happily. Hmm. You've got a wife. No, you don't. Not if you have at any fucking moment to run out the door and move to another fucking country and another fucking safe house. So no, you don't want this. Fuck me. However, I'm free because I'm doing what I gotta do. And I'm being allowed to do that.
Hmm. Well, what have your experiences been in terms of the countries you've been to? I know you were recently in the Dominican Republic, and I heard that was not a great experience. I mentioned Cuba earlier. What have your experiences been with the different governments? Are there ones that have been better to you? And what are the worst ones in regards to privacy and sort of police state measures?
See, when it comes to my life, privacy is an abstract term. It doesn't even fucking apply. Let me talk about police, one of the worst, where I was on the fucking run for a month and a half in Belize, in the fucking jungles and hiding in safe houses in Belize while the entire goddamn army and police force were looking for me. Now this, well publicized in literally thousands of fucking articles from the time on the internet in every major publication in the world. Now, I'm just living the real world shit. I don't have time to talk about, oh, privacy. No, fuck no. All I gotta talk about is, can I survive this physically, spiritually, emotionally? Can I? That's always my goddamn question, because I don't know much of the time. I just know I got to do what I got to do. So when you talk, people talk abstract, oh, no privacy, no security, it's a police state. I don't know about those fucking terms. I don't know what they even mean. I know what it means when someone fires a gun at you, when you're locked up in a god-awful hellhole of a prison, when you're being chased by armies, when governments want to get you, torture you, and then kill you. No, that's what I know. And I promise you, it is not abstract. Mm-hmm. It's my fucking life.
How many people do you think have fired guns at you? And, you know, when we were doing this...
How many people what?
How many people do you think have fired guns at you? Because when we were preparing for this, we did some research and we saw, you know, this woman, Amy.
Not more than a dozen in my whole fucking life, but that's not it. It's not the point. It'd be guns.
I think I get your point.
Hiding behind bushes to grab you.
Right.
Because they can't kill you, right? They can injure you or wing you, but they can't kill you if they want your information, can they not? So my advantage is making sure that I have information that everybody fucking wants. So if you are after me, you try putting hands on me. Shoot me, which I can't do that.
What's the information you have? I guess you wouldn't say it, but what's it related?
You want me, expect me to tell the information that I have over a public medium when I'm keeping it secret for all these years. This is the only fucking keeping me alive. Please, think that through just a little.
No, are you joking? Of course, but
are you saying that you have a dead man switch of sorts?
I do indeed. Well, fuck me. How else could I live?
That's very interesting. And you can't give the topic. I know you can't give the information, but what's the topic? What's the?
If you want to go back as recently as 2.5 months ago, you can go and look at the Bahamas, where I outed the head of the National Police Force for corruption and spouted publicly his bank account name, his bank account number, the transfers of money that came into his account, and what he took out in cash, and published them on my fucking Twitter account. One of the reasons I had to leave the Bahamas. So, fuck me. Listen, if you're out there, I got information on you. I wouldn't even be on here if I couldn't wreck your life, my friend. So
we were talking about that. We were thinking.
What's that?
We were talking about that before because JG has never used Zoom, and we were thinking, are you listening to our conversations right now beforehand?
I don't need to right now. I mean, but you know, you don't want to electronically fuck with me. I'm just telling. All right.
No, I'm joking. Well, I think that sort of brings us to, we'll do this sort of perfunctorily, because everyone who interviews you has to ask about it, right? So
about what?
About Belize, right? You said you were on the run.
Okay.
And so we'll give you a chance to give you a standard answer. You don't know Gregory Fall. You had no involvement, right? Sorry, not Gregory. What's his name, JG?
Gregory Fall. You said I don't know him? Yeah, of course I knew him.
You knew him.
He's my neighbor.
You knew him. And you know, the more interesting question than did you do is, who do you think did it? You know?
I know who did it. The Belizean government did it. Jesus, God, if you just look at the sequence of events. Now, people go, it had to be Gregory Fall because he complained about your dogs. Well, fuck me, everybody in the goddamn neighborhood complaining about the dogs, okay? I'm right on the beach in the path from San Pedro to some of the ritziest restaurants in Belize, right up the beach. So fuck yes, but people are complaining. Most of all, the restaurants.
Why do you think the Belizean government did it?
Okay. You can Google this, but let me give you a recap. Okay, so now, I lived in San Pedro with the American enclave of Belize for, fuck me, I don't know, 3 years maybe, all right? Then I thought, this is very plastic. I bought some land in the jungle. I built this compound in the jungle of Belize. Only white man in the entire fucking territory, all right? They called me just the white man. And built a jungle compound. Well, shit, once I was out there, I was away from the security of the American way of life in Belize, right? I'm out in the goddamn wilderness dealing with natives. No. What happened is, after I'd been there for a year, a local politician came and said, "Maffey, would you donate $2 million for an upcoming election?" It was a party in power, right? And for this, we'll give you this and that and the other, and so on, all the 18-year-old girls you want for the rest of your life, whatever. So I said, no. First of all, I didn't want to get involved in politics. I mean, what if they lost, right? And secondly, I didn't want to start that process of people coming to me to extort, because that's what this was, money. So I said, no. So they went away. A week later, to the very fucking day, I wake up at 6 in the morning, I'm naked, I'm in bed with one of my girlfriends, I come out with a pistol, and I see a fucking army coming down, literally, coming down my driveway, trained by the FBI in Quantico, Virginia, and armed by the State Department, carrying the fucking AR-15s, and walking like soldiers walking. I knew, fuck me. I put my pistol down on top of the steps, put up my hands, they pushed me against the wall, took me off. It was an ugly fucking day. All day long, they were searching the property and so on. So in any case, I don't want to get into the details because it's on this. But in any case, after the day, they took me into Belize City, threw me in jail for a few hours, and then let me go. That was it.
Yeah.
Following day, the guy comes back. And says, "Mr. Mafia, I'm so sorry. It was a big, big mistake. We had false information. Oh, please, God, would you forgive us?" And Mr. McAfee, please, by the way, sir, have you reconsidered your donation? So I should have said, you bet. And I'm going to give you $4 million instead of $2 million. Now, smart man would do that shit. I'm apparently not smart because I just said, get the fuck off my property. Now, and that began a goddamn war with the government, ending with the death of my neighbor, which they fucking killed after they poisoned my dogs to make it look like, because he poisoned my dogs, I killed him. Would I be stupid enough, or would anybody be stupid enough to whack somebody within 24 hours of them killing your dogs? No, that wouldn't look suspicious, would it? Please, fuck me, nobody does that. But in any case, all right?
That's very interesting.
Let me make this perfectly clear. I had absolutely nothing to do with the death of
Gregory. Right. Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah, I think everyone interviews has to ask it, where, you know, because or else we get, reamed out by everyone, by the...
The mainstream media, which I know John has had a lot of issues with, just the sort of MSM team out there, the lamestream.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm no fan of the media myself.
What about it?
What about it, Jake?
What do you think? Why do you think the mainstream media has gone after you so hard? Do you think there's been any sort of honest players that have interviewed you from the mainstream?
Listen, it wouldn't be in their interest to be honest with me, would it? Now, if I did not turn out to be a monster and a fiend, and a criminal against humanity, they wouldn't be selling stories, would they? Because they're selling stories because that's what they're calling me. Right? Paranoid madman, murderer, rapist. Fuck me. That shit sells. But no, here's a practical joker, right? That goes to the extreme in practical jokes and is not smart enough to understand who has him by the throat. Else I would have written that check for $4 million immediately. Right? Or $2 million that they asked, $4 million, which I should have offered. So no, that's who I am, and that's not much of a story. In fact, that's a really piss poor, dull, and slow-moving story.
You know, another story they've tried to put out is that these girls were 16 years old and et cetera, et cetera. You've been in relationships. What do you think of these relationships? Because you don't have a normal or the regular life, in, to put it euphemistically, with dating. How do you think that's been for you? Do you think that's
changed? I've had a very normal life. I've just experimented more than the average. I mean, in Belize, I had 7 young girlfriends, all teenagers, except for a couple who were in their 20s, all legal in Belize, living on the same property with me and having sex, all of us. And so that's an experiment. Oh, fuck yes, I did that. You want to trash me for it? Go ahead. I give a flying fuck. Right? My experiment.
I think it's interesting, though, because you've lived this life that's so different from a lot of people, and you have a perspective on the world. Do you think that your perspective on the world can be shared by the average person, or do you think that your perspective is entirely unique? Basically, is it universal, the stuff that you preach, or do you think it's just for you?
I don't want the world to see through my perspective. I want the world to see through each individual's true perspective, because each individual has a unique perspective of reality. Mm-hmm. Fuck me, if we don't all accept that and live it, what's the point in being here? So all of you out there who, rather than express yourself and do your thing, you look to the society at large to see what's acceptable, and you act only within those acceptable bounds. Well, fuck me and fuck you, because your life will be miserable. Be yourself. I don't care what happens. Be yourself. Did that answer any question whatsoever?
That did. I think it really sums up your perspective very well. Be yourself.
Well, before we wrap up, John, I just wanted to ask you about your recent, I guess people are giving you flack about it, which you told them not to. I was curious about this whole China zombie thing that you have a position in now.
But yeah, you know, I took some money to do a job. Okay. I mean, I'm like a goddamn private detective. I don't give a shit who you are. Are you paying me to do something? And you got the fucking cash. Yes. I'm doing my goddamn job writing it honestly. I mean, fucking honestly. So now, you want to go, oh, it's absurd. But let me ask you a fucking question. I don't know if you watch the news or if you saw a few years back in Florida, a total stranger ran up to another total stranger and ate their whole fucking face. All right?
Now,
I'm not saying I know what a zombie is, because we know they can't be what the movie fucking defined. Can they? No, it's a fucking movie. Well, we do know that our conceptions of them are that the main characteristic that we should worry about, they run up to you and eat you if they can catch you. Well, fuck me. That's got to be number one. Is that happening? Yes, it's fucking happening. In England, a drug called spice. They call it the zombie drug because if you take it for a few weeks, your flesh begins to fall the fuck off. Now, I don't know, is that a zombie characteristic in the movies? Fuck yes. Open your minds is all I'm saying. Plus, why don't we consider the following? This has got nothing to do with flesh-eating humans, because cannibals have been here for 50,000 years. No. What does this have to do with? This has to do with the metaphor, an extremely important metaphor, maybe. And the metaphor is, there are zombies among us now. We live among them. Mm. They touch us as they pass us by, bump into us. They affect us. Rather than eating your body, they insist that they eat your mind. Not your brain, no. Your mind, your intellect, your ability to think for yourself and be yourself. How are the zombies created? Created by the system. Because the zombies, unlike in the movies, the zombies build all the shit and do all the services that the wealthy power people need. They build your yachts and your mansions and jet airplanes and cook your food, everything else. So we need those goddamn zombies, right? But the zombies' job is to suck all of us in, because if in fact we are not those zombies too, that fucks up the system. I mean, everyone's glued to the goddamn cell phone in the coffee shop, not even aware that there are other people around. And if you're aware that people are around, that is distracting to zombies. So they have to get into your head so you'll become one of them. That's it. So judge me after I've written the fucking white paper, because maybe, just maybe, I will do an honest fucking job. But I would like to make this plug for me. If you come to me and ask me to help you design techniques to rob little old ladies without harming them physically, I'll go, God damn, if that's not a good idea, you bet I'll promote that. I mean, I'm a promotion whore. People, you need to understand this. But I'm a promotion whore with standards. And I have a high degree of both discretion and an ability to spot a good thing when I see one. So call me at 555-1555, extension 55, and ask for Mr. McAfee. Thank you very much for the plug. And I enjoyed being on. All right. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We have you, to go.
All right.
Thank you, John.
Thank you so much, John. I appreciate
when it. When you're in New York, like when you're actually in Staten Island, we'll have to get that drink in the East Village.
if I ever go back to Staten Island, it's been 50 years, I will call you.
Well, that does it for this edition of Parallax Views. I hope you found our conversation with John McAfee as fascinating and wild as Marlon and I did. Marlon, any final comments on the John McAfee Parallax Views conversation interview? What did you think of it in the sort of just general sense, any closing thoughts on it?
Yeah, I hope there was some stuff that people hadn't heard before, and I hope it was entertaining. And, you know, as John mentioned, I hope that when he's next to New York, we can have a drink in the East Village. That's it.
Well, folks, if you enjoyed this episode, this edition of Parallax Views, I'd like to remind you, you can follow me on Twitter. Please be sure to retweet, like, comment, just get the episodes I do out there. I put a lot of time into these. And also, if you're able to, you can support me on Patreon. You can find a link to my Patreon account on Twitter, on the Parallax Views Twitter. And Marlon, do you have anything in the works? Anything you want to tell listeners about?
Not really. I mean, I have a podcast coming out soon, but that might take a while. If they want to eventually listen to it, they could just follow me on Twitter, which will be linked below. It's my name, Marlon Ettinger, at Twitter.
And with that being said, until next time, you've been listening to Parallax Views. with Parallax Views. To Parallax Views. With Parallax Views.
The way out is not simply to say, don't do it, just to prohibit. It's nothing else. If we don't do it, others will be doing this like crazy. So, you know, we have to confront the problem. But no, basically, I know of the great anxiety problems, new forms of control, but it's also new forms of freedom. This is why I always emphasize that internet and all this new digital stuff, it's a very ambiguous phenomenon, but it's the field of struggle. New forms of enslavement, but at the same time, new incredible forms of freedom. We have to accept the fight with no nostalgia for old, allegedly more authentic communities or whatever. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid.